Lord's Prayer, two of the greatest prayers in the New Testament were prayed by Elizabeth when Mary came to visit her after it was announced that she was to be the mother of the person Jesus, and Mary's response to Elizabeth and to God. Elizabeth's prayer begins with, "Blessed are you." Mary's prayer begins with, my soul magnifies the Lord." And then she continues by stating, "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary then continued to speak of God's work in our world and of her gratitude, her thankfulness to God for what God does for each of us daily. Mary announces that heaven and nature sing. Nature sings because of God's intervention in the world. A seminary professor, Edmund Steinle, who died some years ago, wrote about God's involvement in our world in his book, From Death to Life. He wrote this, "We are to open our eyes to the wonder that God keeps coming, entering into dialogue with us, to speak in love and in judgment in love where we least expect, always appearing to be less than he really is so that we can recognize him in his love, in the big overbearing problems of a world in radical change, or in the simple delights of daily life. God is literally all over the place, hoping that we'll have the eyes to see and the ears to listen to his coming." Now, Mary's prayer is pure spirituality, and in our personal spirituality, if it is authentic, results in work. Work to bring about God's kingdom. Jesus knew this when he announced, as Luke's gospel records in chapter 4, when Jesus returned to Jerusalem where he'd been brought up. Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. And in the synagogue, Jesus stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. Jesus unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and to recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So what did the people who heard Jesus do in response? There are a number of responses they could have made to this. But Luke's gospel clearly reports that the response that they made was to drive Jesus out of town with the intention of hurling him off a cliff. Jesus tells us that true spirituality is thoroughly involved when we, you and I, feed the hungry and give water to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick and those imprisoned behind so many different kinds of bars. When people asked Jesus what he meant, this is what his response was. "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." But let's get back to Mary's prayer. She again boldly proclaimed, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And then proclaimed, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary's song is so commanding that when formal evening prayers are prayed, sometimes called Vespers, whether in Lutheran, Orthodox, Episcopal, and Roman Catholic churches, the Magnificat is always sung or recited every day of the year. The importance of the Magnificat is shown that in the People's Hymnal, in the red books, in our pews, it's at page 734. So who was Mary? At the time of Jesus' birth, she was not a queen or a princess. She was a young pregnant woman, a mother-to-be, who lived in an obscure and very poor village. And who was Elizabeth? She was the wife of a relatively obscure Jewish priest. She lived in another obscure village, so minor Luke does not even name it. Only thing he says is that it's located in the hill country of Judea. We cannot, based on Mary's song, form an opinion that Mary was just a quiet girl who said yes to God's announcement that she was to bear a child and just let it go at that. She was a strong woman who knew that somehow at that time she had a major part to play in history, but she did not thoroughly understand it, perhaps not understand much of it. When we look at Jesus' birth, as even witnessed in pageants, we see the shepherds moving around, but we see Mary just by the manger, just plain next to the manger. In reality, the whole birth of Jesus revolves around Mary and her baby, so she was definitely involved. Luke's gospel tells us that Mary's song tells us of a young woman with very powerful ideas. And for 2,000 years, her song has been prayed as our song. So when Mary says that her soul magnifies the Lord, we have to ask ourselves that very same question. And that is, do our souls magnify the Lord? Do our souls make God's world greater? Do our souls enlarge God? Or on the contrary, somehow do our souls diminish God's kingdom and God in this world? And whether we do so because we intend to, or do so because of inaction, or just something that happens, is it possible that our souls can diminish Jesus in the world, diminish God's kingdom in the world, or somehow reduce what God is trying to do in this world? Mary was convinced that her soul and the soul of her baby, the baby she was going to give birth to, was somehow going to make God's kingdom greater in this world than it had been before. So when Mary proclaims that her spirit rejoices, exults, is joyous, we have to ask ourselves the same question. Does our spirit rejoice in God? Does our spirit exult in God? Do we have joy because of God? Mary prays in her song that holy is God's name. And of course, we hear this later on when Jesus told us the Lord's Prayer. He says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name." So there is to be holiness in our lives if we permit God to be present in our own souls. Mary reminds us that God's mercy is for those who fear Him. The book of Ecclesiastes, which is one of the wisdom books of the Bible, has this statement: "The fear of the Lord is the crown of wisdom. The fear of the Lord makes peace. The fear of the Lord makes perfect health to flourish." I love that. Perfect health and peace because of fear of the Lord. But what does fear of the Lord mean? It does not mean a shaking, terroristic, frightened fear, but the kind of fear that we have when someone we know removes or is possible to remove love from our lives. Fear of the Lord means that we're afraid that somehow God no longer loves us. Think of a young child, if a parent stupidly says, because of what the child did, that the parent no longer loves the child. The child fears the loss of love in that person's heart. And that's the concept of fear of the Lord. Fear of the loss of the love of God. So Mary tells us that when we know we are convinced that God loves us and cares for us, then mercy is ours. For we're then able to experience God's kindness and mercy and compassion and grace and forgiveness and blessing. Mary tells us that because of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and especially her own, that God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. It is often said that the primary sin is one of pride, because pride is the opposite of humility. And part of that means to be humble. For us to be humble is to know where we are and to accept God's plan. And Mary's quite clear about this in her statement, because she clearly states that God has scattered the thoughts of the proud in their hearts. In other words, who they are is not the reality of who they really are. They imagine something other than human authenticity. Humility is seeing the real. Humility is understanding the real. Humility is accepting the real. And that's why at the beginning of her song, she could legitimately say, and humbly say, from now on all generations will call me blessed. We can say the same thing from our life on. All generations can call each of us blessed because it's not anything we did. It's because the fact that God blesses us. Now, Mary knew who she was, young, poor, no heritage, no great ancestry, just a good person. So Mary acknowledged that the Mighty One has done great things for her. And we can do the same thing. We can acknowledge that the Mighty One has done each in our lives great things for us. Mary did have true humility, but she also had true pride and gratitude. Pride in God and gratitude in God. Philip Chard, some of you may be familiar with the name, a psychotherapist. He quoted Holocaust survivor Eily Wiesel. And this is what he quoted her as saying. When a person doesn't have gratitude, something is missing in his or her humanity. A person can almost be defined by his or her attitude toward gratitude. Philip Chard then goes and adds his own opinion. We know that expressing gratitude to others is associated with greater energy, more optimism, and enhanced empathy. It is a way to care for others while also contributing to one's own well-being, an emotional and interpersonal win-win. Mary's Magnificat is just that. It's a statement of profound gratitude toward God, not just for what God is doing for Mary, but for what God is doing for God's people, you and I. Mary in her life was totally aware of the sheer power of the Roman government and the power of the temple priests in Jerusalem. The same government and temple priest who took Jesus' life 33 some years later. She saw how their combined power was often misused, and she saw their oppression of the people, the oppression by the powerful. So Mary sings of how God's continuing work in the world would continue to bring upheaval, would continue to bring down the powerful from their thrones and lift the lowly up and fill the hungry with the good things. And she said that God would instead send those who believe that they have everything, except God, away empty. Mary was convinced and is compassionately concerned about all. Our work to do for God's people. In other words, she is concerned about what God was doing for all of God's people, and what we have to do, what she had to do and what you and I have to do as ministers for God to bring about God's kingdom. And in doing so, we are to magnify the Lord, and we will magnify the Lord, and we can therefore rejoice in God. Because then what we're doing is we're realizing what God has done for us, realizing the great things, the blessings in our life. And then we can each be called blessed, as she termed to be blessed. Not blessed by fame, not blessed by power, not blessed by possession, but blessed by the great things that God has done for our very souls. We acknowledge then God's mercy as we seek union with Him. We fear separation from Him and realize God's holiness. And Mary said she grasped all these things because of God's covenant with us. An understanding that she would have received from the Torah in the book of Leviticus at chapter 26. This is what it says. God said, I will walk among you and I will be your people. I will walk among you and I will be your God and you will be my people. One more time. I will walk among you and I will be your God and you will be my people. So Mary, in her familiarity with the Word of God in Scripture and the Torah and the prophets, comprehended how God was going to help His servant Israel, a remembrance of His mercy, according to the promise He made to all of the ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever. So therefore, in His own holy way, Mary's prayer is a call for us to realize God's work for us and to respond to God through our efforts to bring about God's kingdom in this world. We each have our own part, hour by hour, day by day, And the part keeps changing as we move through life. It keeps changing as we move through the day and each of the day's challenges. The challenges that occur again hour by hour and sometimes minute by minute. So Mary knew the part that she had. She didn't know all of it. She didn't know what was going to happen. She had no idea of the time. But she knew that she had a part to play. And Elizabeth also, when she met when she met Mary, she also knew she had a part to play in the divine plan. They did not know, either of them, how their babies would change the world. That unfolded over time. Well, what their babies did was also to magnify the Lord beyond what either of those women could possibly imagine. So in our own ministries, our day-to-day, hour-to-hour, and sometimes minute-to-minute ministries, we have a great responsibility because we're responding to the call as we listen to the call and see what's around us. And then, therefore, our call is to magnify the Lord. And our call then is to rejoice in God, our Savior. And as the call is in our closing hymn today, our call then is to worship Him who is the joy of the world. Amen.